It's Tuesday, April 14th, and this is Israel in 10, the Misgav Daily Brief. I'm Laura Cellier in Tel Aviv. Just a word, be sure to sign up with your email to get this fast, focused update in your inbox every single day. In a few moments, we'll hear from today's Misgav expert, Kobi Michael. He tells me Qatar is turning away from supporting extremism, and that's bad news for Hamas. Hear all of that in a moment, but first, your headlines. Israel and Lebanon will hold historic direct talks in Washington later today. The Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, will oversee discussions with both sides represented by their ambassadors. Hezbollah is fiercely opposed and says it will not abide by any deal. Meanwhile, a 13th IDF soldier has fallen in Lebanon. Reservist Sergeant Major Ayal Uriel Bianco, who was 30, was killed in a vehicle accident. Three other reservists were wounded. Iran and the United States could resume talks as early as this week after negotiations in Islamabad collapsed on Sunday. The sticking points, Iran's refusal to give up its nuclear program or its support for regional proxies. Tehran will not agree to remove enriched uranium, halt enrichment long term, or stop funding groups like Hezbollah, Hamas and the Houthis. It's day one of President Trump's blockade of the Strait of Hormuz, but questions are already being raised about its enforcement. Shipping data shows a sanctioned Chinese vessel, the Rich Starry, made it through. The ship, which is carrying methanol to China, initially turned back as US naval forces moved in, but it succeeded on a second attempt. CENTCOM says it's not blocking vessels headed for neutral ports, but the ship is under US sanctions. China's defense minister says Beijing will honor its trade and energy agreements with Iran and has warned others not to interfere. Saudi Arabia is reportedly urging Washington to drop the blockade and return to negotiations amid fears Iran could retaliate by targeting the Bab el-Mandeb via Houthi forces in Yemen. The UK, France and other NATO allies refuse to join the blockade. Instead, European leaders are doing what they do best and planning a conference. 40 countries will discuss how to preserve freedom of navigation, but only once the fighting subsides. Jordan and Syria are rebuilding ties after years of rupture during the civil war. Officials have signed some 20 agreements which cover energy, water, security and trade, even plans for a cross-border railway. While Israel maintains peace with Jordan, it continues to view the regime in Damascus as a threat, with IDF forces holding buffer zones in southern Syria and the Golan. And you can now hear today's conversation with Misgav Senior Fellow Professor Kobi Michael. Kobi Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Laura.
Let's start with the Lebanon talks. What are you looking out for? Is this an opportunity or could it be a trap?
I think that it is an opportunity. It is a historical precedent. This is the first time from 1982-83 since we had a one-month peace agreement with Lebanon. There are direct talks between the political echelons, not the liaison officers or in the military level, but between the political echelons. And this is after a declaration that was made by the Lebanese president about his willing to open negotiation with Israel based on mutual recognition in order to reach a peace agreement. The question that we have now is how strong will be the Lebanese government in order to tackle this challenge, and what would be the contribution of the external players, mainly when it comes to the United States and to the Saudis, in order to back the Lebanese government. Political. Under the current circumstances, the Lebanese government and the Lebanese army are not capable to tackle Hezbollah. They are not capable to disarm Hezbollah. On the other hand, it is pretty clear that there will be no agreement as long as Hezbollah is still there as a valid, effective military entity. Israel has to continue weakening Hezbollah to the degree that the Lebanese army, that will be more powerful and more capable, then, based on a very gradual and responsible manner, Israel will withdraw from South Lebanon. I'm talking about a process that will not last weeks or months. I'm talking about a process that will last not less than a year. But I think that there is an opportunity in a year or 2 years from today to reach to a much better situation in Lebanon, and even a peace agreement is not something that is imaginable.
Talks between the United States and Iran could resume as early as this week. If they fail again, is Israel prepared and ready to go back to war?
I hope so. If Israel will not be prepared, it will be a very troubling issue. I think that Israel is still on the same page with the United States. Although Israel is very skeptical in this regard, I think that Israel still prefers that things will be achieved by negotiation. I think that this is also the preference of President Trump. But Israel understands that the gaps between both sides are almost unbridgeable. Therefore, Israel has to prepare itself to escalation. There is another scenario, although not with a very high probability, that the Iranians will not retaliate to the American blockade, or at least will not retaliate aggressively. And then the blockade will be considered as another tool which is used by the Americans in the negotiation, and a ceasefire will be a prolonged ceasefire, which means that we will enter to a sort of a status quo where Iran doesn't attack Israel and Israel doesn't attack Iran, but there is no real progress when it comes to the strategic demands or objectives of Israel with regard to Iran. This is a sort of a strategic limbo. But as it looks now, and as far as I understand the Iranian regime, I think that they might retaliate aggressively, and they will drag the Americans and the Israelis. And I think that this time it will not be only the Americans and the Israelis. I think that there will be some additional partners, maybe mainly from the Gulf countries. They will drag them to a very violent escalation. I hope that it will be the last phase of this military campaign, and the Iranian regime will be weakened to the degree that it will not be functioning anymore. And this will facilitate the conditions for domestic pressures, and the Iranian people will do the efforts in order to topple down this regime. Again, this is not a process of weeks or months. This is a process of years. It might take 2 or 3 years. But if this will be the direction, then I think that it will be a positive direction.
Let's turn to Gaza, because reconstruction and rebuilding is already underway, but Hamas is still in control. Was the war for nothing?
I think that everybody understands that Iran is the ultimate escalating generator here in the region. Now, it is pretty understood that Hezbollah will not be able to survive without Iran. This is, in this war, the end of Hezbollah, or at least the end of Hezbollah as an effective threat. And this will be a very good news for Lebanon as well. Now, when it comes to Hamas, it will affect Hamas as well. Hamas is pretty isolated today. Real support that they have is the Iranian support, because the Qatarians are changing their position now because of the war against Iran. And therefore, Hamas will be weakened. In order to realize the strategic vision of President Trump and others with regard to the regional architecture, there is a need to demilitarize the Gaza Strip, which means to disarm Hamas, and nobody else will be able to do that by the IDF, and the IDF will have the green light to do that. This time it will be much shorter, and then it will open the path for the realization of the 20-point plan.
Qatar is funding much of the reconstruction now in Gaza. What's to say Qatar and Egypt and others will not just become the main supporters of Hamas going forward?
When it comes to the resources which are required for the reconstruction of the Gaza Strip, and we are talking about billions of dollars, okay? Egypt is not the solution. I think that if Qatar will continue its transformation and will change its position and will be closer to the pragmatic camp which is led by the Saudis, the Egyptians, and the other Gulf countries, I think that Qatar might have a very contributing role in the reconstruction of the Gaza Strip. Qatar is not there yet, okay, but it looks that Qatar is in its way to this direction because of the Iranians, because they understand that all their policy insurance when it comes to Iran, all of their position as mediators and their appeasement towards the Iranians and the hedging strategy actually fell. and they were attacked by the Iranians, and they are very angry at the Iranians. They are very disappointed, and they understand that they cannot trust the Iranians. So once they understand that, and they will change their position, and they will become closer to the other Gulf countries and to the Americans and to Israel, then they have a more contributing role in the Gaza Strip.
Kobi, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Well, that's it. That's your Israel in 10. Be sure to sign up. We'll be back tomorrow.